And Elisha was a was a great man. Both of them. Elisha was the student of Elijah. Remember that? Elisha was the student. Everybody's got to have a teacher. Amen. Elisha followed Elijah, I say, for at least 10 years until Elijah was caught away in a whirlwind. You know the story? The chariot of fire came and took Elijah away up to heaven. And Elisha took his place. But Elisha was in training for at least 10 years. That's a long time. Because one time they, it seems as if they totally disappear off the scene. And there were other prophets that came on. But then they surface, resurface again. So this is a wonderful, wonderful book. The Bible is a wonderful book. And I just want you to get in love, fall in love with the Bible. When you go to church, say, well, why did you go to church? Yeah, just to see people shout and jump. That's good. And say, you know, that's good and make promises. No, you go to church to hear the word of God. Yeah. That's why you go. So you would know him. Yeah. So you'd understand God. Understand the ways of God. Amen. And a lot of us, we're not settled because we don't know the word of God. Elisha, when Elijah was going, when Elijah was to be caught away, when Elijah was to be caught away, made a request. Anybody know? He made a request. A double portion of, have you ever heard that? Yes. Elisha wanted a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Now it's not because he wanted to be better or more powerful, but he was going to be in charge, and the nation of Israel was really in apostasy, idolatry. And there was no respect hardly for God. They had lost, the people had lost the respect and the fear and the reverence of God. When you lose fear and reverence for God, you'll do anything. It's terrible. And just like the state that most of the world is in right now, we've lost, even in the church, we've lost the fear and respect. And we don't know what it is to fear God. When we hear his word, we don't tremble. It's just like you don't hear anything. See? But we need to get back to that place where we fear God. And we tremble at his words. When we hear the word of God, we tremble. And we respect. So I said, was I said 1 Kings? Help me. 1 Kings. Notice, and just help me. And Elijah, the Tishbite, he was from the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. You see, Ahab, you know the story of Ahab, was a very wicked king, one of the worst kings that ever lived. And his wife was, the name of his wife's name was Jezebel. Okay, and She was actually the one that was governing Jezebel, because Ahab was a weak king. And she took over and she really hurt the work of God. So here, he was from the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Here's telling a king that, don't even fear God. But God raised up a prophet to stand right there before him and declare the name of the Lord. And add a message. And add a word. See, no matter what's going on, God's going to raise up and has raised up men and women of God that fears God, and they're not afraid to proclaim the word of God. And when they go to church, they're not going for a selfish reason for me. Me, what I get out of it, I take. No, they go to give. That's what church is about. Give. You sow yourself. Well, I didn't get nothing out of that service. Well, what did you put in? What did you give? Huh? You've got to give all yourself to the Lord. I give it all to the Lord. If you don't give yourself to the Lord, you will not receive anything. Because really, God doesn't owe us anything. And you don't go to church because to enjoy church. You go to church for the church to deal with you. That's why you go to church. So that God can have his way in your life. And this man stood before the king and said, as the Lord God liveth before whom I stand. Notice here. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words. I mean, that's powerful. In other words, he says, he was giving a weather forecast. And he says, nothing's going to happen until I tell you or I forecast rain. See, I'm forecasting that there's not going to be any rain and there's not going to be any dew for these years. For these years, according to my word. Notice he didn't say weeks or days. But years, but according to my word, that means even the weather is going to respond to him. Amen. Even the weather is, you've got to understand who you are in God. Amen. That you have power with the Lord. Yes. And you believe the Lord, it changes things. Yes. The reason why we are like this is because we don't have faith, we don't believe the Lord. And we don't spend time with God. We don't read, we don't study, we don't pray. And we believe something is going to happen. We just jump in the presence of God and just something's going to happen. No, this man waited on God. Okay? I think James tells us that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. But the secret was he prayed. This man prayed. I think it's in James. Okay? So the next verse says, the word of the Lord came unto him. Hey, no, when he delivered that message, now a word came to him. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee. How many believe God gives direction? How many believe you're not here this morning by chance? But it was God that puts it in your heart to be here, so you're seated right where you are. Because God has a word for you. God wants you to know that he's still God. And look, he controls the weather. He controls the dew. He controls the rain. He controls your life. He gives you direction. He tells you where to turn and where not to turn. Do you know that God can lead you to the right place to get the right job? He tell you, turn here and turn there. Go here and go there. See, God directs our steps. The path of the just. See, as a shining light. God directs your step. So here it says that, it says, get the ends and turn the eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. That's a direct direction. When God gives you direction, he gives it so clear. Tell you exactly where to go. What to do. How to act in this situation. You will hear a still small voice. Have you ever heard a voice? Something tells you inside that you're on the right track. Or something will tell you, slow down, back up. You're going the wrong way. But here's a man was in the will of God, and God told him, he said, look, you go to Jordan, and I've done something there for you. I prepare a place for you by the brook Cherith. And I provided your meals. I have some servants that's going to wait for you. How many know God can even command the birds? He can command the birds. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have, look at that word, military. They have to do it. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, you have to know that ravens don't give away anything. And God can bring you, allow you to go to the meanest place. You're working in the meanest place. You've got the meanest boss. And God touches heart to treat you right. You can live in the meanest neighborhood of the meanest landlord. Because God is in control of everything. Amen. Notice, he said it's a command. They had to do it.
Praise God.
I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Yes. But what if he had gone somewhere else? See, that's the thing that we think that you just get up and do what you want to do. There's a direct will of God for your life every day. That's why when you wake up and you just run out, you don't seek the Lord, you grab a cup of coffee or whatever and read the paper or something, but you're gone. But you don't ask the Lord for his guidance, his mercies, is new every day. And you have to ask him. You get up in the morning, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do. Who's in charge? You're not under a command of God in that way. You're doing and leading yourself. But he says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And if we're suffering and we're going through, it's because we're missing God. But you've got to understand that God can even use the ravens. I'm in a bad situation. God can take you through the famine. So verse 5. Obedience. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's all it takes. When God speak and give you a word, do it. You don't do it because somebody. Here's the problem. We do it because we're afraid of somebody. Our people. Well, if I obey God, they will do it. It only look like they will do it. Because the devil is pulling a scare, what, tactic on you? Yeah. And try to make you afraid. But you've got to understand that you are in the hand of God and nobody can pluck you out. You can be afraid of people and miss God. Well, I'm afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where do you get that fear from? Who gives you that fear? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Oh, you have little faith. Well, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? It's because you're living by fear and not by faith. But you need to change that around and say, I believe God. It shall be even as he said. Nothing can by any means harm you. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwell, notice, dwell by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Wonderful. He was in the presence of God. He was in the will of God. And the ravens, notice here, see, the ravens. He didn't have to, you know, a lot of us, when God promised us a blessing, we sit there and wait for it and looking up there and worrying about, no. Just obey God. Amen. Your blessings will catch up with you and overtake you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You don't have to sit there and miss. Well, you see, Pastor, I couldn't come to church today because I have a few issues I'm working out. So as soon as I settle it, I'll come. You'll never come. That's a trick of the devil. Because you've got to understand that you go forward and believe God, because though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So where did that fear come from? Why? Because thou art with me. That's the secret. Thou art with me. And if God be for us, somebody shout it. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the ravens brought him, notice, bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Two meals a day. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while. I mean, you call that divine provision. Because God's providing for you even in the time of the storm, the time of famine. He's providing for you. So he tells us, don't take thoughts about what I shall eat, what I shall put on. Just obey the Lord. Just trust God. If God says do it, do it. Because if God is for us, oh. If God be for us, come on, church. If God be for us, who can be against us? And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now you're panicking now. Now you're panicking now. The brooks is drying up. The rain affecting you. Your blessing, you know, is drying up. But what you've got to understand, when one blessing or one door closed, we used to have a sign over here, when one door closed, God's getting ready to open another door. All right. When first, he himself was being blessed, right? But now this door was closing because God was going to enlarge it so others could be blessed. So sometimes he has to dry up one blessing to enlarge another blessing, to open another door so somebody else can get blessed. If you had to stay by the brook, and always remember that God is always ahead of you. It says, the word of the Lord, when the brook was drying up, but notice, when God gives you a first word, don't panic, there's coming another word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And you know, Jesus even used this lesson in the gospel about the widow. Jesus used it. This powerful, this wonderful Bible. You didn't know that. Sorry. So he said, get thee to Zarephath, which belong to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. No, notice ravens. No, a widow woman there to sustain thee. I mean, God can. I mean, this widow woman was poor, broke, and on the way out, on the last meal. And yet God command her to provide for the man of God. I'm trying to show you in these lessons the God of miracles. So you can have faith and not doubt him. It says, so he arose, obedience, and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, notice, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Okay, let's go on. Another thing to note is that when God moves you from one blessing, He'll bring you into the other blessing. You don't have to wonder, where comes my next blessing? One blessing leads into another blessing. As he was going, as she was going, we have that, right? Yes, okay. As she was going to fetch it, the water, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." All right, let's find out now. This get so wonderful. And verse 12, and she said, notice, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. All I have is an handful of meal in my barrel. All I have is my little paycheck." I couldn't give my tithe and offering out of that. "Fetch me." No, this is mine. I couldn't help the church. I'm so poor. Are you as poor as this widow woman? Are you? Don't wish for that, because you will be if you without a blessing. But she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have it." And she was telling the truth. See, it's not only what you have, it's the willingness of your heart. Because you can have a heart to give, all right? And there's nothing. It's not because she didn't want to give it. She just didn't have. She said that, "All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." We're going to have our final meal. See, sometimes you get to the place where it's your final. That's all I have. But your final meal open up the door for a feast. Amen. When you think that's all and it's over, God's ready to enlarge you and bless you. We're going to have, my son and I, our final meal. But you bring a man of God in. You bring Jesus in. You bring the word of God in into your final situation. When you feel that everything is over, you're going to lose everything. You got to go to court. You got to face your enemy. You put God first. Because when it's your final, that's where God begins. God begins when you come to the end of yourself. When you see yourself and your need, as long as you're rich and you know it and you don't need anybody, you can do it yourself. God, not even God will help you. But it's when you get to the place of desperation and you see, that's all I have. And yet I'm willing to give. We're going to eat, my son and I, and then we're going to die. Look what God, look what happened. And somebody read it. "And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Go and do as thou hast said." Go ahead and make the cake. Go ahead and prepare lunch. But prepare mine first. God's ways of increase is different from ours. God's way of blessing us is different, because she was on her last meal and that was it. But out of that last meal, and Jesus used her in the New Testament. And Jesus used another lady in the this poor widow that was casting in all she had.
Two mites,
was it? Because you never get so broke and poor that God will not take it. Because when he takes what you have, that's when he's able to enlarge you. But if you don't open up and let the Lord have it, and you hold it, you never prosper. But you have to release it. Amen. Because, remember now, when he said, you make, go ahead and do it. Make lunch, but make mine first. Don't, in other words, don't even bake yours at the same time. Bake mine first. What a demand. How many of us would believe that? You mean God asking me for, yes, he is. You mean God would take, yes, he will. Yes, he will. And you've never learned to trust God. You've never learned to release your faith. That woman, unless she did something about it, should have died. Because there was many, Jesus said, there was many widows in the days of Elijah, and yet God never sent Elijah to any one of them, but to this widow. Amen?
Amen.
So, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Read on. Go. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little one first. And, Lord, bring it unto me. You go make it. Somebody say, well, he's so bossy. Telling me to go make it. Here I'm making to die. My last meal with my son. What about my son? What about his education? What about his school? I can't do that. I gotta, what about my children? What about my, that's your problem. You don't trust God. You see, you put, you're motivated by fear. Well, I can't give it because I have to give it to my kids. Go on. You little broke thing. Amen. God's trying to deliver us from bondage. Financial bondage. You stop giving. That's the time you stop getting blessed. The man of God says, go and make me a little cake first. Before you make yours, pay your tithe, your offering, give to God first. I couldn't do that. That's what the widows in Israel did. They wouldn't give first to God. So God had to step out of the borders of the church. If God can't find people in the church, he go outside and use anybody. He can use a raven. He can use somebody from a different country, across the ocean.
Yes. Praise God.
Zidon. Now, I think a preacher told me, Zidon. That's where Elijah was. Ahab couldn't find him. But did you know that his wife, Jezebel, you can look it up, his wife Jezebel was a Zidonian. They couldn't find Elijah, and Elijah was in her country. And they're looking all over. God can hide you and protect you right under the nose of your enemy. Thou preparest a table. Somebody ought to shout. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. My cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now notice here. Hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? He said, you do it first. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Your bank book, your stock, your 401k, your investment, whatever you put your hand to, will be blessed. Why don't you try God? Why don't you believe God? Why don't we begin to take God at His word? I mean, come on, take God at His word. You've been in church all your life and you don't believe God. You're raised in church, but you doubt because, listen, you're always looking for something to come to you. But it's the other way around. You give. That widow woman had to take it first before the miracle. Give me a miracle, then I'll do it. No, that's not a miracle. You give it first and trust God. That's faith. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Do you understand what happened now? He said, from that little cake first, you're going to have an unlimited supply. You're going to have a supermarket move in your house. Hallelujah. From that little cake, you're opening the door and having the biggest, largest grocery store when everybody else is starving. You don't have to worry. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did heat many days. You know that? Over 3 years. I mean, that's a miracle. Every morning you go there, you find that amount right there, sitting and waiting. And after a while, she began to have faith, begin to believe, and she don't have to worry. She just grind over, get the pan ready, get the oil ready, bake the cake. And I trust me, that was the sweetest cake because that's man didn't eat angels' food. That was no ordinary bread. There was no bread around. That's angels' food that they ate in the wilderness. And 16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Didn't stop. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. God will sustain you. But you have to let go and let him carry you. You know, you say, I give my all to the Lord. But God knows you got something you're holding back. And the next verse. And the barrel of meal. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. Test of faith. Don't touch your kids. Touch the faith. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? Who gets the blame? Tell me, who gets the blame? What have I to do with thee? Pastor gets the blame. Even if it's not there. You and your husband fight, who gets the blame? He wasn't even there. He didn't even know you were fighting. Pastor gets the blame. Your kids get out there and get hooked up on something. Who gets the blame? The church and pastor gets the blame. Sometimes people forget the blessings, what God has done, and the little thing. Said, how thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son. He didn't do nothing like that. He never even called her sin. He never even know. Elijah never even talked about her. And he said unto her,
give me thy son.
Underline that. Give me thy son. You need to give your children to the house of God.
Yes.
The problem is that you can be doing a lot for God, but you'll not surrender your children. We've had this church ever since, and a lot of people, they have never surrendered their children to God. Their kids did whatever, and they did whatever, and they were totally in charge. And you wonder why your kids die spiritually. You never surrendered them. You never said, look, this is the church. You're part of it. Keep it clean. Love the church. What? No. Yeah, I didn't care. And you wonder why. Now here, give me thy son, and he took him out of her bosom. Ah, you see, you got to hold on. Release. I got to do it, and I got to direct my children. I got to hold on. Get them out of your bosom.
Amen. Yes.
Give them to the Lord.
Amen.
So, do I feel like shouting? Surrender them to God. Lay them on the altar. And look at it, it said, he took him out of her bosom
and carried him up
into a loft. He was upstairs. The church, the presence of God. We're so concerned. My kids, my boy, my daughter. It's good, but you give them to God. God gave them to you. God knows more about them than you know. But you hold on. And you not let God have your way. You should pray, oh God, not my will. I have no program. I have nothing planned for this child. I'm going to send them to school, do everything, but your will. Put them on the altar. Have your way in their life. No. I have to tell them A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and they go according to my brains. I don't trust God. You have to release. Eh? Now, look at it. It said, and he cried unto, they went up to the loft, right? Verse 20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God. Elijah was a man of prayer. The Bible said that. He was a man of prayer. You have to, James, find it. You have to pray.
James 5:17.
She was doing a whole lot, but she was not surrendering that child under the covering of a man of God. And he says, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon... Oh Lord, I love this chapter. And he stretched himself upon the child
three times.
You see, you come to church, but nobody, the pastor couldn't even correct you. He couldn't stretch himself. He couldn't correct your child. Yeah. You got to get him out, get that child out of your bosom, and get the man of God begin to stretch himself. The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. Begin to stretch that person. Stretch that child. You say, oh, Pastor, you talk. It's in the Bible. It's in your book. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. And then cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Read on.
And the Lord heard Elijah.
I mean, this is a greater miracle than the meal. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul, underline that word. The what? The soul of the child came into him again, And he revived. So where was the soul? He left him. And he died. But now he prayed and his soul came back. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him and to his mother. Go back there. And delivered to the mother. And Elijah said, Elijah said, see, nothing to worry about. Your son is alive. Give him to God. Let them go high. You have them on a low level, your life, the way you live, your standard. And you're afraid to let them climb higher into God. Elijah took the child out of her bosom. Remove the hindrance. Take the child to the loft, stretched upon that child. Put some word in that child. My Lord. And Elijah took the child out of and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. You want to have your child? As long as in your bosom, your control, your idea, they're dead. But release them to the ministry of the apostles, prophet. Pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of saints. And let them let the ministry take them higher. Amen. And he stretched himself.
Amen.
Because they have to grow. They have to come into the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. But, oh, that's mine. So you watch your little boy or girl grow up. No fear. Don't know God. Sad, isn't it? Then when they become... they grow up and become mothers or fathers. You're saying, will you come to church? But when you had them, you didn't do that. So it passes on to grandchildren. And great grandchildren. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. She had, a lot was happening. She had doubts. And that the word, this is powerful. On the line, come on. Get alive. And that the what?
The
and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. If you can get that message this morning, that the word that you hear this morning is truth. Or you just come and walk out and you don't remember anything. You can say, my God, what I heard. I heard the word of truth. I heard the word of life. I'm not going to miss church. I'm going back to church. This is a timely message. Because you got some things in your bosom that you need to get rid of. You know, that thoughts, that bitterness, that anger. Stuff that you got there, right? That you treasure and love. You're going to have to release that. You have that old time stuff that buried there and you're holding on to it and you wonder why everything around you is dead. Funny ideas, traditions, you never let it go. You go to the same thing. You have to release it. You have to give it up to God. Something you have in your heart, your bosom. You have that hunger, that pride. You know more than everybody else. You're too good. Release that. By faith. And when you come and you see the church begin to stretch them. Stretch them. And you see that life begin to come. In that child. Or in that husband, or in that wife, or in those children, life. But you know what? I mean, oh, Pastor, pray for me, my, I. But you don't remember nobody else. my children, my husband, my kids, my everything. About everybody else. We need to lose that selfish. Some of us won't even let God touch our children. You say, but I give myself to the Lord, but you won't give your children. How do you do that? You give them on your knees. You don't have to walk and say, Pastor, here's my son or my daughter. No, it's on your knees. You give who first gave themselves to the Lord.
Amen.
You got to give yourself to the Lord.
Yes.
And when you give your children to the Lord and your family, and don't worry about it. Don't give God, you set your clock. And if God don't save them in 2 weeks or a year or 2 years, you get frustrated. And you ask God, what are you doing? You got to lay them to the Lord and leave it there.
Yeah.
Because God's bigger than you are. God's got time.
Yeah.
Let me begin to wind this down. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. In thy mouth is truth. I mean, she got there, but it's better late than never, right?
Right.
Huh? She catch a bus, right? Now, and I think I'm going to, it's too good to, then we're going to go into chapter 18. And then we're going to go through 1st and 2nd Kings. We're going to show you this. We'll be here for a while. Is this powerful? Now, I want to close in Matthew. Did you find that scripture where Jesus used her? I'm coming to James too, but give me the one in Matthew, I think it is. Mark, Luke. Jesus used that. Put that up in Luke. Luke 4:25. When Jesus used this same lesson to show that what was going on, that there was many widows, and yet Elijah was not sent to them, but he was sent to a widow in Zidon, Zarephath. But I tell you the truth, many widows, Luke 4:25, and it goes on. Right? I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That's Elijah. When the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent. Is it up there? But none unto them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. We know the story, we just went to that. And many lepers, it goes now, he is using all those incidents in Kings that we're touching. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogues, when they heard these things, were what? Filled with wrath. They were upset. They were mad. When Jesus told them the truth, said, you didn't get blessed, but the widow got blessed. That was powerful because they know the history. One of the trouble in church today, we don't know the history. Okay. I think I'll stop right there. And James. Look at James 5. And you can read this for yourself. Because it's a beautiful lesson. James 5. 17. Elias was a man
subject
to like passion as we are. But he prayed. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Okay, so what if you begin to pray? Okay? Pray before service. Pray. Meet. Pray. Cry out to God.
Amen.
Huh? Begin to stretch this church.
Yes.
Take this church higher.
Hallelujah.
You know what's going to happen?
Amen.
It's going to get warm and life is going to restore it in it.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, Elijah worked 8 miracles. Elijah, 8 miracles. Elisha, with a double portion, worked 16 miracles. Let me give you some of that in the future we will get into. He divides Jordan with Elijah's mantle. One. Salt, he healed the water by pouring salt in it. Two. The mockers, you remember these young boys came out? 42 of them? They were killed. The waters. Yes, remember the when Moab went out to fight against Israel, and there was no water, and they dug around it out there in the desert, and water, the valley was filled with water. Then the widow's oil multiplied. The Shunammite woman gave a son. The same son was restored to life. Death, remember they went out to cook? Death in the pot. Then he put meal in it. We'll get into it. Then 100 men ate and left thereof. Naaman healed of his leprosy. Gehazi smitten with leprosy. The axe head swim. Flow. Remember, you know the story. The servant eyes open to see the mountains with chariots, okay, on fire. And then the Syrian soldiers blinded when they went out to seek after Elijah. And the soldiers, the same soldiers, their eyes was restored, their sight was restored. And the last one, when Elisha died, and they were burying a man, and the band of Syrian came out, and they hurriedly cast him into the sepulcher of Elisha, and his bones. Imagine, the man's body touched his bone, and he came to life again. That is awesome. I gave you an outline where we're heading. That's okay. Is that all right with you? So you need to come to church because... Amen. You need to come to church and get these in, right? Now, I think... praise God. I think that we had a good day. Wow.